Thursday, December 22nd, my 54th birthday, began with Lucy and Pat bringing the Nugents and the Feldsteins down to visit with us. They'd spent the night before in the Cedar House. The Nugents and the Feldsteins had come down for Beth's wedding, and Lucy, in her tiny apartment, had had the Nugents and Helene as house guests, the Feldsteins as frequent visitors, and six dogs to complete the household. She was unruffled and happy, and so were they. Brendan came in and showered them with presents, including Western hats for the two men, who put them on amid much laughter. With every meeting, we like the Nugents more and more, and their own genuine happiness is one of the many reasons you like them. When they left, I went out with Mr. Carter and Mr. Klein, and we walked up and down in front of the main house, trying to choose a planting location for my wonderful present from Mary Lasker. Six beautiful weeping cherry trees, coming by refrigerated truck from New Jersey. So far as I know, the first to be planted in this part of Texas. We chose a spot in front of the house, south of the East Cattle Guard and south of the West Cattle Guard. Washington Commuter is still running, and Lyndon had a full day with his staff, Bob Kentner and Harry McPherson and Doug Cater, and Larry Levinson, a new one to me, Joe Califano, Marvin, George Christian. They were all there for lunch, including Vicky and Simon McHugh, who are on their way to San Angelo for Christmas. Cecil Ruby arrived with a Christmas present of a seven-layered chocolate cake made by Helen Corbett of Neiman's. In the middle of the afternoon, I did some decorating down at the trailer. And then in the late afternoon, took Linda with me to drive along Ranch Road 1 very slowly, using the binoculars that Lawrence Rockefeller had given me, and trying to imagine what it would be like when the state park came into existence. We will need a few trees in strategic places for screening to preserve a sense of privacy and a feeling of home. And I think a stone wall would be very nice to replace the white wooden fence around the swimming pool. It would be a buffer from the wind, something Lyndon has sought for a long time, greatly enhance the privacy, and melt into the landscape beautifully, I think. A nice continuation of the low portion of the stone fence to the west of the gate. Linda and I went around the circumference of the proposed park very slowly several times, imagined approaches to the house from all angles, and pretty well got the trees placed, though I'll have to get some big red flags and sticks on a quiet day after Christmas and be a little more scientific about it. Dark drove us in. I knew Linda and Lyndon were planning something for my birthday, but I happily ignored all responsibility for it. Glad to just let it happen. A little before 7:30, Lyndon asked me to go out to the south end of the runway with him to meet the Negleys, the first I'd known of the guest list. And by the time we were back, they had begun to stream in. Linda had done a dear job of assembling my favorite people. Homer and Eloise Thornberry, the Don Thomases, the Jake Pickles, and Wheezy and Earl Deeth, and of course Jesse Kellum. And for the first time with him, a widow. Jesse always speaks of his dates as a widow. Olga Brett. And I was delighted to see that Linda had included Jesse Hunter, because Christmas is just a reprieve for her, and she will be going back to Houston for cancer treatment very shortly after. And I'm so happy we can add some brightness to this frightening time. I was particularly delighted that Melvin and Nita Winters were there. Linda had also asked the Dale Malacheks and Dale Meeks, and of course it wouldn't have been complete without A.W. Morrison. And Lyndon had asked the newcomers to the Hill Country, John and Joe Hill. They had drinks in the living room, and there was laughter and merriment, and all our swarming troubles were temporarily shelved. Actually, the most touching birthday present I received had been announced the day before, when Warren Woodward had called me up in a conspiratorial tone of voice and said he wanted to see me to discuss something with me. I'd arranged to meet him at Max Brooks' office, and had spent the first 10 minutes of my 3 hours there with him, listening to what was my birthday present. It was $1,000, and it came from 10 of my closest friends, headed by Governor John Connally, with Walter winding up the list. And in between, Lennon Marks and Lloyd Hand and Bill Deason and Marvin Watson and Jake Jacobson and Mr. Jesse Kellum. Woody. And, of course, Woody, who had thought the idea up, collected it, and, of course, as it was to be given to some enterprise my heart was in, he'd put some thought to what, and had come up with the idea of the University of Texas, and specifically the Department of Journalism. I was touched and thrilled beyond measure. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before. The thought that I could be of some use to an institution or project I loved was a thrilling surprise to me. And most of all, I liked the people he had chosen to ask. Woody understood well. But tonight was for fun and just hilarious gifts. We had barbecue, buffet style, and sat at two tables, and then birthday cake and champagne, with marvelous toasts by Lyndon and Linda and Lucy at the end. And of each in their very different ways, I was very proud and very grateful. If one is supposed to reach a philosophic feeling for the passing of time on one's birthday, I did not on this one. Maybe I rushed too much from event to event to stand aside and look and feel for the picture of Lyndon and Linda and Lucy as they made their toast rest happily in my mind, the real significance of the day. Jack Pickle got into the spirit of the thing by giving me a rubber raft, the better to ride down rivers. And Mary and Marie gave me a slender and beautiful copy of Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory. Lucy and Pat gave me a luscious long-sleeved nightgown, as did Liz, not at all the kind for Grandma. And Katie Lockheim had sent the Karnak Improvement Association a check for $100 in honor of my birthday. Both the Karnakers and I were overwhelmed. Linda even did the seating, so it was an effortless, floating evening for me. Nellie Connolly and Mary Lasker had called me to wish me a happy birthday, and indeed it was.